It's a solo edition of the Scuttlebucks right here on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. Today, I am your host. I am your back and forth guy. We're volleying with ourselves. That doesn't sound clean, but trust me, it will be for the purposes of today's Scuttlebucks. My name is Tom Lang, and this is brought to you all season long by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan wants nothing more than to put you, Scuttlebucks listeners, into a brand new or pre-owned F-150 or Mustang. Maybe one of the Mach-E's that are out there these days too. But you've got to go to Bill Curry Ford. 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, head to BillCurryFord.com. You get yourself in a brand new Mustang or a pre-owned Mustang. They've got you all set at Bill Curry Ford. You can go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, find General Manager Sean Sullivan's email address. He'll shoot the breeze with you about the Bucks, and the next thing you know, you'll be riding in the car that you actually want, not the one that's in your garage or your driveway. So remember, BillCurryFord.com. Support those who support Buccaneers Talk right here on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. So for the Bucks this weekend, it's a sleepy 1 o'clock kickoff. It's not a great slate for the NFL this weekend in general. Monday night football between the Bills and the Patriots is going to be a really good game, but the daytime might be a red zone day in addition to watching the Bucks. What we are looking for this weekend is a continued showing of road production. This is something that the Bucks were able to do last week in Indianapolis, scoring over 30 points on the road. A couple of those points, a couple of those possessions were short fields because of Colts mistakes. But nonetheless, the Bucks' home road splits had been so bad, it was the fodder for ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, NFL Network. Everywhere you looked, you saw the disparity of output and production at Raymond James Stadium, which has been the den of depression for a long time, but is no longer. And then anytime we went on the road, it was the Saints, the Patriots, you name it, it was less than stellar. So can you do it again against an Atlanta Falcons team that is less than motivated, shall we say, at this point of the season? I mean, what really are they playing for? Cordarrelle Patterson's fantasy production? I mean, I guess maybe that's what they're there for, but it can't be much more. Show up, take care of business on the road. We've got a big game coming up in 2 weeks' time, two Sundays' time against the Bills, a 4:25 kickoff. That's one of the biggest games remaining on the Bucs schedule. So do you have the maturity to handle your business this Sunday on the road at Atlanta? And a couple of notes this week. We know that Antonio Brown has had a long track record of all kinds of crappy stuff. I've never been a huge fan of his, but once he paid his debt, once he settled his case and the NFL saw fit to allow him to be fully eligible this season, I put that behind me as much as I possibly could. Now another situation arises in which Antonio Brown has to serve a 3-game sentence for violating the league's COVID-19 policies. Bruce Arians had said, the Buccaneers organization had said, that this was all a big nothing burger, that clearly Antonio Brown, everybody else on the roster had been vaccinated. Well, if the NFL is coming down with a 3-game suspension for number 81 and for Mike Edwards, more on that in a moment, that tells you that it's not a nothing burger. That whatever Antonio was alleged to have done is at least somewhat true, because the league has stepped in and said it's a 3-game suspension for either falsifying a COVID-19 vaccine card or falsely reporting something at some point along the line and then fixing it later. Whatever the reason, he's gone for 3 more games. I don't think Antonio Brown was going to be available this weekend for the Falcons anyway. He was on the injury report consistently as a non-participant at Buccaneers practice at 1 buck this week. So, you know, he's suspended for this game. The Bills game's a big one. If you get him back in time for the playoffs, then the offense should be firing on all cylinders, provided he doesn't do something stupid again between now and then. As for Mike Edwards, I think this is a bigger loss for this particular weekend and the weekends to come. Mike Edwards was playing pretty good football for us, especially with a secondary that is consistently banged and bruised. 32 was a bright spot. Pierre Desir, not so much. Ross Cockrell, up and down. Richard Sherman had an Alfred Hitchcock cameo this season. Hopefully he'll be back by, you know, the end of December and into week 17 and week 18. But Mike Edwards had been a bit of a Swiss Army knife for us, both at safety and in the slot. And he will be unavailable for 3 weeks. Whatever he did, falsifying documents or whatever, with COVID-19, I'm not sure. The Antonio Brown news was more widely reported, as is anything with Antonio Brown. He's going to get more clicks than certainly Mike Edwards would. But I think functionally speaking, for the next few weeks, the Mike Edwards absence is a much bigger deal. So Jamel Dean, who should be available this week, he got back to practicing. The shoulder injury that he came down with apparently is resolved enough that he should be good to go this weekend. Jordan Whitehead was on the injury report out of nowhere. That was the Thursday practice. He was limited because of a calf issue. I mean, you're just really thin at the position. And so without Mike Edwards, things could get a little bit more dicey. The good news is within the next week or two, Carlton Davis should be back in the fold. He was activated. The clock started for him about, 7 to 10 days ago. It's a 21-day clock for Carlton Davis's return to the Bucs secondary. So with him, SMB, and Jamel Dean, you're off to a good start. But Mike Edwards, again, he was the guy who made the play on the kick return at the end of the game against Indianapolis last week to get a tackle, put the Bucs in position to close it out. But he made a lot of plays that either went thankless or very much were noticed. He will be messed for the next few weeks. And don't be a dumbass next time. Don't report something that's not true, and you won't be in a position to cost your team and cost yourself a ton of money and your team some depth at a key position. But that's where we are right now this week is, you know, the Bucs, if you look at the injury report, there are some guys, including Tom Brady, who are held out just for rest purposes. JPP is up and down from a health standpoint. He practiced fully on Wednesday. He missed Thursday. I don't know what you can expect from him day to day at this point and week to week. He was an absolute closer for this franchise last year. When he came back and was in the fold with Shaq Barrett, that front four was terrifying. And JPP made all the difference in the world to push this defense from a group that could put you in position to win a game to a group that could outright win you a football game. He hasn't been anywhere close to that this season. We'll see if he's active again on Sunday against the Falcons. That's going to be a big one to watch for me. But when we're talking about Bucs football by and large these days, all you're doing is measuring against the other halves in the NFC. Green Bay has gotten their act together. The Rams, who made a statement when they beat us in whatever that was, week three or week four, have completely fallen off. Arizona, somehow, some way, won 2 out of 3 with Colt McCoy. They control whatever it's going to be for them in terms of seeding in the NFC. They've got to come back to the pack before the Bucs can pounce. These are the things you're looking at. The Cowboys last night on Thursday Night Football played an ugly-ass game in New Orleans. We know that that's a tough place to play, but that's no excuse for how uneven the Cowboys looked. After a loss to the Raiders on Thanksgiving night, an ugly one at that, they've had a full week to prepare for the Saints. So did the Saints, for that matter, because they played the Bills on Thanksgiving. But the Cowboys look like a group that were ill-prepared. And I don't know that Mike McCarthy is worth that much to the Cowboys looking polished or not. But offensively, Zeke Elliott's not 100%. They didn't want to go to Pollard for whatever reason. And the passing game looked off. With all the weapons, it still looked off. So as you're measuring things as a Bucs fan from here to the end of the season and you're seeing who are the threats, Green Bay is, for me, at this present time, the number one threat and the number one hurdle to getting to another Super Bowl. Now, you got to go win it out in L.A., but I think if you're just ranking the teams of concern, Green Bay has to be number one at this point. Dallas is a potential threat. L.A., if they get their act together. Arizona is, I mean, it's just amazing what they've done this year, but it's still, I got to see it to believe it. So what are we looking for offensively this week? If Antonio Brown is not going to be in the fold again, I'm looking for better rapport with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. This is a weekend that the Bucs should absolutely feast, offensively speaking, and I believe they will. I believe we're going to see. I mean, this is something against Atlanta that generally happens, even going back to the Jameis days. Bucs offense does show out in that building up in the ATL, so I would expect to see it again. But it would be notable because Mike has been dealing with a back issue. He was kind of there, kind of not on Sunday in Indianapolis. It all started and it was kind of a harbinger of bad things to come that on the first third down of the game, Brady hits him right in the hand on a drag route over the middle and he wasn't looking for it. He had one catch and a comeback and then maybe he ran off and drew some double teams later. But Evans wasn't that big of a factor. Chris Godwin the same. He fumbled a ball on a peanut punch by Darius Leonard. And he made a couple of plays. There was an end around and a couple of screens and gadgets that were set for Chris Godwin. But you want to see that rapport continue to grow. Because now we know that Rob Gronkowski, after he suffered his injury, he got hit really hard in LA, hadn't looked the same since, he's back. And I saw an article this week on JoeBucksFan.com talking about he's an even thicker and bigger presence than he was. He's more physically imposing than the Hall of Famer already was to begin the season at this point. So you know what you've got in 87. Let's continue to work it with 13 and 14. And then if Ronald Jones, who has been in and out of practice this week, is available to go, let's continue to see the development of that two-back system. Of course, playoff Lenny, regular season Lenny, Lombardi Lenny, whatever you want to call Fournette, four touchdowns last week. The touch count was through the roof. That's all impressive, and it's clear that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers offense at this point favor number 7 over 27, but Ronald Jones isn't punchless. Ronald Jones offers something that Leonard Fournette does not, which is decisiveness in his running. Leonard can knock you over better than Ronald can, but in a way, Ronald is a more dense and heavy runner and difficult guy to tackle in a more consistent setting. So we'll see. Again, if you are doing what you're supposed to do this weekend, the touches should spread around. And so maybe Ronald Jones gets a little bit more run up in Atlanta this weekend. I'm also looking for Scotty Miller to get more involved too. The shot play down the field that got you a 37-yard pass interference call would have been a touchdown if not for the defender for the Indianapolis Colts grabbing Scotty Miller's jersey. So that's good to see that, in theory, a shot down the field outside the numbers from Brady to Miller is still very much in play, and they have that rapport. But let's continue to build that. You've got to put that more on film. With Antonio Brown not available, who is going to be the player to stretch the field? They badly want that to be Jalen Darden in the near future. But Scotty Miller was that guy last year. He was the reason that we were all walking into halftime against the Green Bay Packers last year in the NFC Championship game with our jaws on the floor. How did that just happen with barely any time left on the clock? Well, that's what Scotty brings to the table. It was the same play that Brady and Scotty ran in Oakland, or sorry, you got me, in Las Vegas last year against the Raiders. So you want that over-the-top threat to open up things underneath for Evans, for Chris Godwin, for Gronk and Cameron Brate. Let's see if the Bucs have a couple of shot plays ready to go this weekend. Because remember, this is the game, or the venue, I should say, last year, late in the season, Bucs are getting their butts handed to them by the Falcons. And there is that famous, infamous, if you're an opponent of the Bucs, conversation in the locker room where Bruce and Byron and Brady get together and say, the hell with it. Can we stop with the dink and dunk? Let's air it out. That's what the offense is supposed to be. You'd kill for weapons like this, offensively speaking. 31 other teams would want what the Bucs have at the receiving core. Let's use them. Let's use them to our advantage. And the comeback was on. In the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the comeback was on. The Bucs go on and never look back. They became the complete team that won the Super Bowl. So do you see more explosiveness out of the Bucs this weekend? A lot to consider this week. This is a very interesting point in the season. It's almost a week if you handle business as you're supposed to. This is a week in which you catch your breath if you're the Bucs. Important road victory over the Colts. You've proven that you can produce on the road. Fortify and validate that point this weekend against Atlanta. Catch your breath and get ready for the 425 kick against the Buffalo Bills at Ray J on December the 12th. That's what this week is all about. We'll hit on some more notes in just a moment on the Scuttlebucks. Forgive me, since I'm running solo, we're going to take a quick break, remind you about how awesome the folks are at Bill Curry Ford and BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan has supported me when I hosted the Joe Bolts Fan podcast here on this very network for several seasons, including all the way to the first cup in 2020. So I speak from experience, and I speak from a place of real gratitude that when there are businesses in the Tampa Bay area that are willing to back local talk, and they're willing to back businesses when times aren't so great. For example, the Jameis Winston years with the Bucks, Bill Curry Ford was here. This is not a Tom Brady gets here and I want to sponsor programming particular organization. They supported Hockey Talk on JoeBucksFan.com, a football website. So when you're making your decision, please invest in people who invest in the community. That's Sean Sullivan and the folks at Bill Curry Ford. Be back in just a second. Alrighty, time for a little bit more Buccaneers talk before we send you on your way. Kickoff 1 o'clock on Sunday from Atlanta between the Bucs, the first place Bucs, and the Falcons. A couple of things to clean up. I said in the first segment that, you know, Dallas didn't want to go to Pollard. Well, of course, I know he had the long touchdown run, but if you watch the formative moments of that game, the 4-minute drill that they want to run, why is Zeke Elliott out there in that moment with a bum leg? You know, he turned in an 8-yard run off the left side late in the game, and he's hobbling back to the huddle. That's what you want to do in order to ice a game, is put a one-legged running back out there. Anyway, the second thing I want to clean up is I said that Ronald Jones has been in and out of practice. That might be a lingering issue. Frankly, it's probably just my fantasy league that hasn't updated things. They said that, you know, his status is not 100% for this weekend. But in looking at the Bucs injury report, which is about a dozen to 15 players long, you don't see Ronald Jones there. So it might just be a pain management thing for whatever had been lingering. But I didn't want to give the impression incorrectly that Rojo was not practicing this week. The good news, the really good news, is that Ali Marpet and his oblique slash abdomen injury, it appears to be getting better. Ali Marpet was a limited participant in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. At the time of recording here on a Friday, I don't have the information on Friday's practice, but that Marpet is at least a limited participant and not being held out of practice is really good, because last week Ryan Stinney got hurt up in Indianapolis and was put on injured reserve. And I'm happy for a player like a Nick Leverett, like my boy Teddy Larson last year against the Washington football team, you know, that these guys get in and get to play big-time NFL football on the big stage. But Leverett was overwhelmed, and that's just not going to work in the long term. So if this is a weekend where you play with Leverett once more, okay, you can probably get by against the Falcons. But that Marpet seems to be on the mend and getting better is very important, as, again, we are looking to December the 12th and a kickoff against the Bills. Interesting game for the Bills. We'll be catching them on a short week as they play the Patriots. We'll see how they respond. Was that win over the Saints on Thanksgiving night a fluke and they're more the team that they were that lost to the Jags and got blown out by the Colts? Or was it the sign of things turning around and they turned in an impressive showing at home against the Patriots, and it gives them some momentum coming into the big game against the Bucs? But yeah, for me, again, everybody, this weekend, Vita Vea this week has been a limited participant in practice. He gave us 30 snaps against the Colts. If he's not 100%, go ahead and limit him some more. If he is, let him eat. Let him go do what he does best, and we can put this game to bed a little bit earlier. William Golston had a wrist injury. Man, it's just amazing how many injuries and bumps and bruises the Bucs have. This is the second consecutive week that you see an opponent with an injury report that's about four players long, and the Bucs will triple that. But William Golston did not participate on Wednesday. He was a limited participant on Thursday with a wrist issue. He's an excellent player. It seems like he's been in a Bucs uniform for 25 years, since the uniforms were the correct pewter combination pre-Jameis Winston era and Mike Glennon era. He's been around forever, and he's good at stopping the run. Very good at it, but he was a limited participant as well this week. We'll see. Again, Jamel Dean will be ready to go. They held out Brady for rest, Steve McClendon for rest. Devin White was a full participant. That's good news. He said this week, I saw again on JoeBucksFan.com an article, Bruce Arians was talking about how the quad injury turned in maybe to a hip issue for Devin White. Well, he was limited on Wednesday and a full go on Thursday. He's a big part of the equation as well. It's pretty simple, everybody. If you're looking at the power structure of the NFC right now, in the East, it's Dallas and nobody else. 8-4 are the Cowboys. Next closest is Washington at 5-6. In the North, it's Green Bay and nobody else. Green Bay at 9-3. Next closest, Minnesota at 5-6. In the NFC West, it's Arizona, and within reach are the Rams. Arizona at 9-2, the Rams at 7-4. But the Rams have lost three straight, so they're trending negatively. It should be noted before I get to the South that San Francisco has won three straight, including an important win over Minnesota, a game with wild card implications. But the 49ers have won three in a row. They are at 6-5. So if you're projecting out brackets and who your first round opponent could be if you don't get the bye, San Francisco is most certainly live to be a Bucs opponent in January. And in the South, it's, as you know, the Buccaneers at 8-3, and nobody else is close. Next closest, however, would be these Atlanta Falcons that we're facing at 5-6. But did you know that the Falcons have been so inept this season that they are one of two teams in the NFC to have a point differential in the negative triple digits? Yeah. Atlanta scored 199 points this year. They've given up 302. That is a differential of negative 103. That they are a five-win team might be a little bit misleading. The only other team in the NFC to have a point differential in the negative triple digits? Yeah, you guessed it. It's the Lions at 0-10-1. The Lions' point differential, negative 115. So the Falcons, even though they're in second place in the division, are much more Detroit than they are Tampa. We've scored, to our credit, 347, given up 253. So our point differential is at a plus 94. Heady company alongside the likes of the Cardinals and in the AFC, the Bills and the Patriots have like point differentials. So just to give you an idea of who's playing consistently, we're really far up there. The Falcons aren't. By hook or crook, though, they're pretty good in terms of the wild card standings. If you want to lie to yourself in Atlanta, there is a spot open to you if you can bother to win a couple of games down the stretch. For the record, though, their home record, Atlanta, 1-4 this season at home. They're 4-2 on the road. They played the Bucs very tough early in the season at Ray J. Matt Ryan had a big day. Calvin Ridley with a touchdown catch. He's no longer a part of that franchise for personal reasons. Patterson had a big day. But the Falcons are 1-4 at home. The Bucs 3-3 on the road, looking to go 4-3 and to push the Falcons down to 1-5. So to sum it all up today on the Scuttlebucks as presented by Bill Curry Ford, and I should mention, you know, I'm loathe that I have not done so, and we're about 22 minutes into the podcast. I apologize. Jeff's fine, man. Jeff Cameron is, there was an unexpected roadie that he had to take on a Friday, so he had to bounce early in the day. Everything's fine. We will reconvene on Monday right here on the Scuttlebucks and the JoeBucksFan.com podcast network. It will be Monday of Buffalo Bills week. Hopefully the Bucks are 9-3 at that point, within a half game of the Cardinals, depending upon what the Cardinals do this weekend. But he'll be back. Everything is A-OK, and we will reconvene as a two-man tandem on Monday. But in sum, what I'm looking at this weekend is, are you professional enough to show up, handle your business on the road? Don't let this game linger. Don't do what the Cowboys did last night with the Saints. Like, if you watch that game, you know that there's a difference between the score that somebody who didn't watch the game pulled up and saw and what actually happened on the field. That was interesting deep into the fourth quarter. Don't do that if you're the Bucs. Don't look disjointed. Don't look out of sorts and messy and sloppy on offense to start the game. Let's look sharp like we did to start Monday Night Football against the Giants. Let's prove that we can get out to a hot start on the road. We have yet to do that, even though we produced at a high clip against the Colts. Last week was really rough in the first half. Let's look at third and long situations. They hardly have any receivers. They've got Kyle Pitts and nobody else on that roster. Like Russell Gage, where would he be on the Bucs roster in the depth chart? Sixth? Seventh? If they get into 3rd-and-12 and 3rd-and-15, let's get off the damn field and not act like a bunch of a-holes from the Lovie Smith or Mike Smith era that couldn't stop you or me on 3rd-and-16. Let's get off the field in those situations. Little details. Little details. The Falcons cannot tell you that much and cannot teach you that much about who you are, but you can handle your business, be a professional, clock in, clock out, get a win, go to 9-3, and start this stretch run. Because in that stretch run, it's the Bills, it's the Saints, the Panthers twice, and the Jets. That's it. So let's make that horizon look even more shiny and bright, like a sunrise on the east coast of the state of Florida, after this game against Atlanta. We'll be back on Monday on the Scuttlebucks. It'll be Jeff and myself. Really appreciate you putting up with me. My name is Tom Lang, the former host of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast and one half of the Scuttlebucks. Appreciate you guys dealing with monologue radio today. And safe travels, brother. Jeff, if you are listening as you're on the roadways this weekend, we will reconvene on Monday. BillCurry4.com is available 24/7. Make sure to hit up Sean Sullivan today to talk some Bucks football and maybe talk about a new purchase decision for a new or pre-owned vehicle for the holidays. We'll talk to you guys on Monday on the Scuttlebucks. Let's go fire the cannons this weekend in Atlanta, shall we?